In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
The legal system can be a weird thing, and one of the weirder things is the issue of standing. Basically, whether you can show the court that you suffered a unique, particular harm. Now, when it comes to things like election integrity, you might think that everyday voters could bring such a lawsuit, especially when such a lawsuit could restore trust in the election system itself by forcing the state to do things like demand voter ID or clean up voter rolls so people don't vote illegally. Sadly, in a nutshell, crooked elections don't harm people uniquely. They harm all of us. Voters bear the brunt of the outcomes of bad elections. If someone is willing to cheat to get elected, they will make bad laws and decisions. They don't cheat to get elected and then suddenly find morality and ethics after they win. No, they will create the means and opportunity for things like all that fraud being uncovered in Minnesota and elsewhere. This week, in a case that went mostly unnoticed, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that a candidate has standing in an election integrity case. And while that may not sound like a big deal, what's fascinating about this case is below the surface, the underlying reasoning and arguments why they have standing, and you might not realize it yet, but we just took a huge step forward to restore trust in elections. I'd like to welcome back Dr. Jerome Corsi. He is the author of about 30 books. Six of those ended up on the New York Times bestseller list, and two of those hit number one. He is the founder and CEO of CorsiNation.com, and you should also definitely visit his other site, GodsFiveStones.com. Dr. Corsi, it's great to talk to you again.
It's great to be back on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked to you in the past about things like cloned voters and election integrity, and there was a huge story that broke on Wednesday that a lot of people, I don't think we're really paying enough attention to, but for those of us that do pay attention to election integrity, I think this has big importance, big ramifications. I think it focuses in on things like trust and trust in our elections. So let's talk about this. To be clear, this was a ruling not so much on the merits of the case, but whether or not a candidate does in fact have standing to be able to sue on election rules. So what was your overall take on that case?
Well, the case is BOST, B-O-S-T, versus Illinois State Board of Elections. It involves Michael BOST, who is a U.S. congressman from Illinois. He's been in the Congress since about 2015. It's a Supreme Court case, and he challenged that Illinois' Board of Elections had provisions for mail-in ballots that were not fair, that were not right. And it's a Supreme Court decision of 7-2, so a strong majority. And yes, Chief Justice Roberts wrote the decision. And the game-changing aspect is that finally the Supreme Court gave standing to a person who's claiming essentially election fraud. And this is all the cases we saw in 2020, when the 2020 stolen election was being contested, when Donald Trump was fighting that he won the election and it was stolen by Biden. The courts, including the Supreme Court, rejected those cases on standing. Now, standing is a technical legal issue. What it means is you have to be a party at dispute. You have to be a party at issue. And the way Chief Justice Roberts indicated it, he made it very, very clear what he was saying. He said, what is standing? And he said, standing, according to precedent, means you've got to have a stake in this.
Right. What's it mean to you?
What's it mean to you? In other words, it has to have impacted you personally. And of course, Justice Roberts argues remarkably for the first time that as a candidate, BOST had a stake in this, because if the specific issue was that Illinois law required election officials to count mail-in ballots postmarked or certified no later than election day, but received within 2 weeks of the election day. So for 2 weeks, they could keep counting mail-in ballots, which is an open opportunity for fraud.
Yep.
because you can make up those mail-in ballots as many as you need for your Democratic candidate to win. Okay, and so what the Chief Justice is saying is that it was affecting Bost's campaign because he had to organize, fundraise, and run his campaign for 14 additional days. It cost his campaign time and money. He risked injury if untimely and illegal ballots caused him to lose the election, and because his margin of victory might be reduced. So essentially, the district court and the circuit court both rejected his case on standing, but Chief Justice Roberts uniquely in this case finally gave standing and said Bost has an obvious answer. He's a candidate for office, and a candidate has an obvious personal stake in the rules that govern the counting of votes in his election. So Justice Roberts is saying a candidate can challenge the state rules in a federal election, and that's groundbreaking. That's really an acknowledgement, finally, from the court that there is fraud in our elections, and there has to be remedies for candidates who are objecting to it, and they're going to let the cases be heard.
Yeah, and I think it wasn't just, of course, about this particular case, whether or not he has standing, but I was really interested in how he brought in some other elements of it. For example, within the syllabus, that's kind of the summary of things, he says candidates have a concrete and particularized interest in the rules that govern the counting of votes in their elections, regardless whether those rules harm their electoral prospects or increase the cost of their campaigns. And this, I thought, was really interesting. Their interest extends to the integrity of the election and the democratic process by which they earn or lose the support of the people they seek to represent. So in other words, what he's really saying is we've got to be able to trust our elections.
Yes. And he's saying that a candidate to bring a case does not have to say that this particular rule from the state board, it makes it likely that I'm going to lose. Okay, so regardless of whether, you know, that's not the issue. The issue is that, you know, I'll read a little bit of the opinion. The long shot, the problem is it will harm the state to conduct an election by choosing, say, flip a coin. The result of such an election will not reflect the will of the people, and the candidates will lose the opportunity to compete for the people's support. So too, similar harms would result from less dramatic departures. For example, if a state decided to discard a random 10% of votes. Will these decisions help, hurt, or have no effect on a candidate's electoral prospects? They deprive the candidate of a fair process and an accurate result. And Justice Roberts is saying that alone causes the public to have less trust in elections. And then that's a sufficient reason to say that a candidate can challenge a rule, and the rule can be ruled out by the courts, whether or not the candidate can prove that that rule caused them to lose.
Yes. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. There's a lot more to unpack yet from this ruling. Everyone stay with us. We'll continue this discussion about election integrity with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. There's some good news for once when it comes to election integrity, and we're talking to Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's a best-selling author. He's an expert in many fields, including election integrity, of course. He's got 6 New York Times bestsellers to his name, and also 2 of those made number one on that bestseller list. Be sure to visit CorsiNation.com and also Gods5Stones.com. We'll link both of those up on today's show page, which is 16-03, ispyradio.com/16-03. And so we were talking during the break there about this case really not getting a whole lot of attention, it seems. But both of us agreed this is really game-changing. I know it was just on standing. And in case people missed that first segment, there was a congressman that was trying to sue the Illinois State Board of Elections for their counting ballots up to 2 weeks past the election day. This was not a ruling on that case about whether or not you can count those ballots. And there is actually another case that's due to be heard about that coming up in March or April. This was instead just whether or not he had standing. And so I don't think a lot of people were really expecting much out of this. You know, okay, he's got standing or he doesn't. But boom, I think Roberts and the majority really blew this wide open.
Yeah, I read it and it was, this is game changing. I was startled to see this. I mean, what it means is all the cases that were blocked in 2020 because the courts refused to hear them. They wouldn't take any challenge. The 2020 election was rigged and they denied all of those on standing. They said the people or the states bringing the cases weren't hurt, didn't have a stake, a personal stake in this. And in this case, Justice Roberts says that this candidate, as U.S. Congressman, boasts had a stake because he was running an election. He could win or he could lose, or he had to spend money. And besides, the real factor here is that Roberts is saying that if the rule is unfair, if the rule could be used to cheat in an election, that undermines the public's integrity in elections. And that's the reason a candidate can challenge a rule as to how votes are going to be counted. Mm-hmm. Listen to this language here from Justice Roberts. He says, the counting of unlawful votes or the discarding of lawful ones erodes public confidence that the election results reflect the people's will. And when public confidence in the election results falters, public confidence in the elected representative falters. To the representative, the loss of legitimacy or its diminution is a concrete harm. Okay, so they're saying that, you know, the candidates are particularly at risk here and have standing because their very jobs depend on the support of the people. And so even if you won an unfair election, it's detrimental because the people don't believe you deserve to win, and it undermines election integrity. So the point is, this gives any candidate, and just as Roberts is acknowledging here without saying it, that he knows the 2020 election was rigged. He knows these rules the Democrats are using in mail-in votes were created to cheat. So any candidate running for office can take what we have on God's Five Stones, Andrew Paquette's work. There's algorithms, there's codes in the state database that permit millions of false voters that don't exist to be created, and yet they get legitimate state IDs and can be used in mail-in ballot schemes. Anybody running in one of those states can now go to court and say, I'm challenging the use of the state voter registration roll because it has a code in it, and I'm not going to allow the election to be held with that unless that code is removed and the voters who don't exist are removed, and we get to a legitimate, you know, basically voter ID list of voters. So this opens the door for candidates now to bring challenges,
yes,
in the states in the 2026 election and to start the process right now saying, my state has a rule that's unfair and I'm going to contest it. And the courts under this decision, which is the name of the decision is BOST, B-O-S-T, versus Illinois State Board of Elections. And it was just decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, a 7-2 decision by Justice Roberts, writing the opinion of the court, saying that Congressman BOST had standing and the rules that Illinois could keep counting mail-in ballots for 2 weeks after the election was not fair and would be a rule that has to be struck down.
Yes.
That's huge. That's huge.
And I think they certainly alluded to the fact that how we can expect them to rule in March or April, whenever the ballot counting case comes before them. It already is before.
Oh, yeah,
they just have to rule it. But I think they're saying that's just not going to work. That's not going to be well received here.
Well, in fact, they mandated this back to the lower courts and said, we want the lower courts to decide the case about the mail-in ballots being counted for 2 weeks in Illinois, decided according to what we wrote in this opinion.
Yeah.
And so therefore, it's got to be consistent with this. Now, what Justice, I think the image here that was most important in Justice Roberts, he said, just look at other contests and see what's fair. He said, so you got a 100-meter dash. And he said each runner in a 100-meter dash would suffer, for instance, if the race were unexpectedly extended to 105
yes.
meters.
Yep.
So when a particular runner expects to finish strong or fall off the pace in the final 5 meters, all would be deprived of the chance to compete for the prize that the rules define. The fastest to run the 105 meters has not won the 100 meter dash. They might not have been the fastest runner at 100 meters. And to win the 100 meter race because it was extended to 105 meters is just not fair.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Yeah, and it's that phrase that follows there that I think is such a huge hint for how they're going to rule in this endless counting of ballots until you get the results that you want after the election. They say this, quote, "And in much the same way, an unlawful extension of vote counting deprives candidates of the opportunity to compete for election under the Constitution and the laws of the United States." I think that is about as they may as well just issue the ruling right now, because that's what it sure sounded like.
Well, it also means that all of these rules about mail-in voting, you know, the harvesting of the mail-in yes. voting and the drop boxes and all these rules now can be contested by candidates who are running for election in a few months.
Yes.
And the courts have got to hear that. Now, when Justice Roberts wrote that this unlawful extension of the voting, which is clearly fraudulent to make a 100-meter dash not measured until 103 meters or 105 meters is run, violates the Constitution and laws of the United States. So the Constitution and laws of the United States take precedence over the State Board of Election rules. Now, that's also in this decision, and that's also devastating to all the state boards of elections that have these corrupt databases yes. that we're documenting on God's five stones with these algorithms in them.
Yes.
So suddenly the state boards of election are under the gun.
Yes. Well, especially if you look at this from a matter of trust, as you say, that I think this ruling certainly gives a lot more weight, even just to the argument that voter rolls must be kept clean, because you can't trust the elections if you can't trust the processes, and you can't trust that election if you can't even trust the people that are allegedly voting in that election either. So, all right, let's go and take a break. Everyone stay with us. We'll continue this discussion about election integrity and this important ruling from the Supreme Court with Dr. Jerome Corsi. And welcome back. We're talking today to Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's the author of about 30 books. Six of those ended up on the New York Times bestsellers. Check out the work that he does there at CorsiNation.com and also God's5stones.com as well. And so we've been talking about this really important ruling from the Supreme Court. It had to do with standing as to whether or not a congressman could sue about some rule changes there that happened in Illinois, where they are now allowing ballots to be counted if they arrive up to 2 weeks late. I think there's some 16, maybe more states that also have similar rules, so this would impact them as well once that case is heard. This one in particular just had to deal with the standing. As far as the ongoing implications of this, we were going out of that break there talking about the voter rules must be kept clean. This has impacts on that. It's also, I think, really focused on trust, that people need to be able to trust our elections. And all of this is happening just at a time as Trump is starting to sue the states. The DOJ has already sued a number of states, including Oregon, for their voter rolls, but it's also some of these other issues as well. And it kind of ties into something that we're going to talk about a little bit later, is all of this fraud that's happening. And just watching that, it's almost like by design how that all unfolded, because what did Trump do? He started asking the states, okay, we want to see who's on getting SNAP benefits. We want to see who's getting Medicaid and all these other benefits. And of course, the state said, oh, no, we're not going to give you that. And of course, the tell is whenever they say you can't look, that means they're guilty. That was the first step. And now all of this fraud is being exposed there in Minnesota. And of course, it's happening in a number of other states as well. Now you look at that kind of model and what Trump is now doing. He's got these rulings, and now he's getting ready to bring out, start exposing what really happened there in 2020. So this is going to get really interesting really quickly.
Well, I've been working with Peter Titkin. We've been God's Five Stones. Peter Titkin is President Trump's attorney, and they've been friends since they went to military academy together when they're about 15, 16 years old. And Peter Titkin has done the lead on the election integrity issue. He's also representing Tina Peters. And we can talk about that in a minute. But the key is everything we did on God's Five Stones is now validated. Because if there's algorithms in these elections that allow false votes to be created in the millions and used in mail-in balloting schemes, every one of these states using mail-in ballots can be contested by candidates running in 2026 right now. And they can contest it before the election. And the rules can be thrown out if the rules are obviously designed to cheat or to appear unfair. Justice Roberts wrote, Candidates have a concrete and particular interest in the rules that govern the counting of votes in the elections, regardless of whether those rules harm their electoral prospects or increase the cost of their campaigns. Their interest extends to the integrity of the election and the democratic process by which they earn or lose the support of the people and they seek to represent. So a state board of election voter registration roll with secret code in it is obviously undermining the integrity of the election.
100%.
And this is Trump's campaign, which he's now almost every day out there showing you this state is cheating here. This state is cheating here. This state's going to have to clean up its more. And this information is coming out. We now know, I think part of the reason Maduro was captured in Argentina was that Tulsi Gabbard had validated that it was through Venezuela that the computers were being rigged and influenced by communist China in conjunction with Maduro and Venezuela. Okay, so there is now a national security emergency here that Justice Roberts is validating by giving candidates standing to sue against rules these states concoct that are obviously unfair and that are skewed to cheat. So suddenly Donald Trump is being positioned to issue, the states don't want to fix it. The states want to continue to rig and steal and cheat in elections. Donald Trump can say under Article 2 powers as commander-in-chief, if communist China can penetrate our elections, I'm making the following rules under the Constitution. And that is, we got to have proof of citizenship, got to have voter IDs, and the machines are out. We're throwing all the machines out because they're too easily cheated. And we're going to go back to creating what Justice Roberts wants, and that is election integrity, so the people can trust an election and it's honest. And the Justice Roberts ends by saying, as a candidate for office, Congressman Bost has standing to challenge the rules that govern the counting of votes in his election. The judgment of the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit is reversed. They refuse to give Bost standing. And the case is remanded for further proceedings consistent with this opinion.
Yeah.
So suddenly Justice Roberts has said all the things that the Democrats have done to cheat in mail-in ballots and other schemes, and algorithms in the databases, false records, people who don't exist, people who are dead, illegal immigrants. Suddenly all these things can be challenged. The courts are going to take the challenges. And if it's necessary, the president now has Supreme Court backing to say that the president has to step in and protect the national security country, the integrity of our elections, which is fundamental to our freedoms, as commander-in-chief, so we're not attacked again by China.
Yes, and you can get a bit of a sense, too, I think, from what the left is afraid of in the minority opinion, because she specifically mentioned that, and this is Ketanji Jackson there, who was saying that, well, this essentially opens the door to a Pandora's box worth of election integrity lawsuits. Yeah, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, that's the whole point. It does, yes. There should be a flood of them now, and it will buttress the public's awareness that President Trump needs to intervene and act. And if the states don't like it, the states say, we're just going to run the elections the way we want. Trump, I think, has the authority under Article 2, commander-in-chief power, to say, we'll just run, and the federal government will run the Illinois presidential election, because Illinois is now a rogue state that doesn't want to comply with the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
So that, and if the Democratic Party, which is demonstrating it now in Minnesota, has to cheat, steal. I mean, look at the Somalis and the billions of dollars being stolen. Look at if the Democratic Party is going to support stealing money from the federal treasury for illegal immigrants and have mobs in the street saying, you've got to oppose ICE. Now the president's going to say, he's already said it. He said, well, but it's going to have to use the Insurrection Act, and this is an insurrection. You can't have a Democratic governor who was a Democrat's vice presidential candidate in 2024 telling citizens to go out and obstruct ICE from doing their their duty.
Yeah, and they're enforcing the law, and yet the Democrats are out there saying, go out there and break the law, because it is against the law to impede law enforcement. All right, we are due for a break here. Everyone stay with us. We'll continue this discussion with Dr. Jerome Corsi talking about election integrity and what we can look forward to in the months ahead as more of these cases are decided at the Supreme Court, which could finally restore fairness and honesty and trust in our elections. And wouldn't that be something? And with Matt talking about a very important ruling from the Supreme Court, one that is largely going unnoticed, and yet it's going to have huge implications for our elections coming up. We're doing that with Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's the author of about 30 books. Six of those ended up on the New York Times bestselling list, and two of those made number one on that list. He is the founder and CEO of CorsiNation.com, and definitely check out God's5Stones.com as well. We'll link both of those up on today's show page, iSpyRadio.com/16-03. And so getting back to a couple of things that you had mentioned in that last one, I'd like to first deal with Maduro, because you had mentioned that that may have been part of why they went in there. How much do you think he actually knows about those voting machines? Do you think he actually was directly involved in it? Do you think he was ordering things? I mean, how deep do you think he goes into that?
Oh, I'm sure he knows 100% about it. I mean, the code, or he knows it was being done. He knows China was involved. He's been in cahoots with China now for a long time, and with Russia. And the whole undermining of the election through the computers is now proof positive. I mean, there's no doubt about it anymore, given what Tulsi Gabbard has released. If people are paying attention, it's been a constant release of information showing that the state voter boards of election are corrupt beyond repair. And that what they've created are rules and regulations which are designed to cheat and steal elections, and they don't seem to care. That's and so it's it goes together with me in supporting what President Trump is setting up, which is we're not going to allow this illegality to go on anymore. We're not going to allow the governor of and the mayor in Minneapolis, the governor of Minnesota, to tell the citizens to obstruct law enforcement from ICE from doing their duty, and then to write manuals and tell them how to injure the law enforcement officers, and have the governor say, I want you out in the streets. I want you blocking ICE. I mean, and then the Somalis are stealing billions of dollars in schemes that have to do with, running daycare centers that don't exist for children and driving elderly people to do their shopping and other duties and getting paid as drivers. The schemes are incredible with illegal immigrants. And the Democratic Party's demonstrating that it's almost an insurrectionist party now.
Well, and it certainly explains why the Democrats wanted so many of these illegals to flood across the border.
Be able to vote.
That's certainly a part of it, is to have them vote. But also they needed essentially willing stooges to do this kind of fraud. Nick Shirley had a really great video, of course, but he also just released the second one. And within that, they are talking about the transportation, and it could be up to $8 million a day being spent on fraudulent rides.
Yeah, all you have to do is the Somalis fill out these forms on the, the Minnesota database website, and they get checks.
Yeah.
Nobody goes out to see if they're transporting anybody or if there's any children in a daycare center or if the business even exists at the address that's registered.
Right.
One of these driving services was registered at a liquor store.
Yeah, just absolutely insane. One of the things that I found to be really interesting in his most recent video, and we'll make sure that we link that up on today's show page in case you haven't seen that yet, was that he was being confronted by the Somalis, who now are aware of who he is and what he's doing and exposing that fraud. And they were very violent towards him, didn't quite get into physical altercations, although there was a couple of them that looked like they're about to. But it's this notion, and they're pushing the Democrat talking points too, which is, well, this is all racist. You hate Muslims. There's comments on your page they want to get all the Muslims out. This is a freedom of religion issue. Well, it's the same thing that the Democrats say, both of which boil down to there's fraud, but you shouldn't be looking. Instead, what the response ought to be is, oh my gosh, there's fraud. We need to get to the bottom of this. And instead, the Democrats are saying, don't you dare look.
Well, all this is fitting a pattern, and the pattern is obvious now to the American people. In the past week, we've had a Supreme Court case in which the woman arguing that transgender men can play in women's sports, that she couldn't define what a woman was. She couldn't define what a man was. And so Justice Aliello says, if we've got a Title IX law here that says you can't discriminate on the basis of sex, and you can't even tell me what sex is, how do I interpret this law?
Yeah.
And said, so the Democrats are now reduced to supporting fraud, illegal immigrants, gender dysphoria, all kinds of things the American people find abhorrent. This is not George Floyd anymore. They're supporting illegal immigrants who are committing vicious crimes and are being let back into the streets and protected by the Democrats, who would rather have their cheating voters paid with stealing government money so they're subsidized in order to have power for the Democratic Party. And Justice Roberts finally did the right thing with this decision, is he broke the back of election stealing. And I'll tell you, from having done God's Five Stones, as soon as I read this, my heart leapt, because we've shown at the core of these state voter registrations is a cryptographic fraud designed to create false voters that can be used in mail-in ballot schemes. And suddenly these can be contested by candidates in the court. And Donald Trump has got the basis for doing an executive order to get control of the federal election so the 2026 midterm is not stolen. Nothing could be more important than preserving the republic with a fair election in 2026. If we don't do it, we lose everything.
You mentioned Roberts there, and I have been oftentimes very critical of him. I haven't liked a lot of his rulings. But as far as this one is concerned, I think he absolutely nailed it. And I kind of remember him in the past being resistant to looking at these kinds of election integrity types of lawsuits. Am I remembering that wrong, or do you think he had an honest change of heart? And if it's the latter, where he really did have a change of heart, kind of makes you wonder if Trump showed him already some of the fraud that he's about to expose with the 2020 election.
Well, Roberts got caught. In 2020, he was at the country club telling people how much he hated Donald Trump, and he wouldn't allow a case to be heard. He denied standing, even on a multi-state charge that the election rules in 2020 were rigged by the Democrats to steal the election for Biden. But now Donald Trump has got so much evidence. The elections have been stolen. He can bring so many criminal cases if the Justice Department will. He can go after so many cases. And Justice Roberts knows that if he didn't allow standing, Justice Roberts would be exposed. So Justice Roberts knows he can't fight it any longer.
Yeah.
And this is a major concession.
Yeah, it's a major concession. And I'm glad that the court ruled the way that they did, because, just imagine how badly this would have been if the Supreme Court had not ruled that a candidate has standing in these kinds of cases. Effectively, no one would be able to sue over elections.
Justice Roberts got caught, and he got cornered. It was really brilliant what Donald Trump did. He cornered him. If he didn't allow an election standing to pursue a case where the Democrats were just counting votes in Illinois, mail-in ballots for an additional 2 weeks, Justice Roberts was done.
Yeah.
And Trump would have they'd have gone after exposing whatever there is about Roberts in his past that he's vulnerable on, because I'm convinced that, the Obama people in the Obamagate ruling had something on Roberts where they got him at the last minute. Too.
That would not surprise me. The whole Obama coup d'etat, I think, is something for sure that's about to be exposed. Okay, we are up against the clock. Everyone stay with us. Coming up, another election integrity case. Someone who tried to make sure that elections had integrity, but was instead jailed when they exposed fraud. But for this case, too, there's also some good news. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show, talking today to Dr. Jerome Corsi about election integrity. And there's another big case out there besides the Supreme Court one that we've been talking about. There was a hearing on an appeals for Tina Peters. And so, Dr. Corsi, I know that you follow this closely. I know that you work with Peter Ticton, attorney Peter Ticton. So what can you tell us about this?
Well, Peter Tidkin is, of course, Donald Trump's long-term friend. They went to the military academy together when they were about 15, and he's representing Tina Peters. Now, I spoke with Peter today as he was getting on the airplane coming back home from the appellate hearing, in which a three-judge appellate panel was hearing Tina Peters' case. And I listened to various segments of the argument, and these judges were angry. These judges were saying to the prosecution's attorney, said, how is it that you charged Tina Peters? She was sentenced as a felony, but she was charged with a misdemeanor. And the judge, this judge instructing the jury, did not instruct the jury that this was a potential felony. Yet when he sentenced her, he gave her a felony sentence. Now, the justice said, this makes no sense whatsoever. This is a violation of every rule of jurisprudence they could think of. And then they went after I felt sorry for the attorney who was trying to support the judge in the Tina Peters trial, because he's pointing out that not only did the judge have a prejudicial, ridiculously long sentence, but the judge also denied Tina Peters her First Amendment rights to speak her mind and wouldn't let her present a defense of what she had done as within the requirements of her job. And the judge was quoting from the justice who held the trial. In fact, I saw segments of the trial that were being used on certain blogs to show how this judge was so prejudicial. And then in the appellate hearing yesterday, the three judges went after those points with a vengeance. So I think it's pretty clear these judges are going to vacate the trial, maybe demand a new trial, certainly reduce the sentence. And when I talked to Peter Tidkin said it may take a month. He's estimating about a month to get a decision, but he is confident that he and the other attorneys supporting supporting Tina Peters scored big at the appellate level. And this judge who held the criminal trial, Tina Peters, who had been exposed as nothing but another woke leftist,
yep.
who was willing to bend the law and be hypocritical, and because he hated Tina Peters, and he didn't want election fraud exposed, and she was going to expose it.
Yeah, I was going to say that what he really hated was the fact that she was exposing it. You know, when you look at what she has gone through, the harsh treatment that she's gone through, she's been locked up with violent offenders despite being a nonviolent first-time offender. She's 70 years old. The last time that we had talked to Peter Tidkin, she had just been sent off to solitary confinement for trying to report some abuse there that it was happening at the prison, using the prison's own system to report that abuse. I mean, we literally treat drug dealers, gang members, rapists, and murderers with more respect than what she has gone through. So clearly her treatment, much like the Nazi Gestapo and Soviet gulags, her treatment is designed to chill free speech on voting fraud. So don't you dare speak up.
I know this firsthand. I mean, the Mueller investigation threatened to put me in prison for the rest of my life because they thought I had a tie to Julian Assange. They said I could take a plea deal and say I had a tie to Julian Assange. They'd treat me lightly. I refused to take the plea deal. They did not indict me. Instead, they closed down the Mueller Russia collusion hoax investigation. But it ended my 32-year marriage. My wife, who supported me when I was telling them I was not going to take their plea deal, I couldn't imagine swearing before God and a judge to a lie in order to stay out of prison. I said, I'd rather you put me in prison the rest of my life. I'm not gonna lie. And so therefore they shut down the Mueller investigation, but it destroyed my 32-year marriage.
Oh.
My wife subsequently had an affair and divorced me.
Yeah, and what gets me about that is the FBI knew what they were doing. They knew you were innocent, and they went after you anyway. And it wasn't just you. It was dozens of people that they did that to. Getting back to chilling
free
speech.
And so I know what happened to Tina Peters, because now they went the extra step with Tina Peters because they did convict her, and now they've got her in a harsh – there's no country club prison for women in Colorado. She's in a harsh prison, and they're treating her harshly, and they're trying to kill her.
Yeah,
you know, and that's her price for wanting to expose election integrity. And yesterday's decision in the Supreme Court in this by Justice Roberts in Boast versus Illinois State Board of Election ought to be also used to free Tina Peters.
Yeah, I think it certainly lends itself to that. Okay, let's take a break a little bit early. We will wrap this up, talk about Tina Peters with Dr. Jim Corsi after this. And welcome back in our final segment now with Dr. Jerome Corsi. We've been talking about election integrity, and just now we were talking about the case there with Tina Peters, which is now being heard on appeal, and the brutal attacks by the judges hearing that case against the judge and his ruling. And I had mentioned that what Tina Peters has gone through, it was clearly designed to chill free speech when it comes to exposing election fraud. On the opposite side of that, if the appeals court either reduces her sentence or validates her claims of immunity and throws the case out, do you think we might see a rash of more clerks nationwide suddenly coming forward with what they know?
Well, these whistleblowers in general pay a huge price because the Democratic powers that be, and often the GOP along with them, protect criminals, they don't want to expose the corruption of the system. Now, what was so apparent in this Tina Peters appellate hearing yesterday was the three judges grilling the attorney for the judge who put Tina Peters in prison. These three judges were angry. They couldn't believe the outrages of how prejudiced the trial judge was and how he violated judicial procedure left and right. I mean, it was like the three judges were so into attacking this attorney, this poor woman who is attorney, they were interrupting each other because they wanted to make the same point another judge was making, but stronger. And it was like watching, three judges in a tag team match against one attorney trying to defend a judge who was obviously corrupt. And so I think there's no doubt that this appellate panel is going to throw out Tina Peters' conviction, and they're going to demand a new trial. I think Tina Peters won a huge victory yesterday, and then the country got to see it. And the blogs have carried this and have covered it. I talked to Peter Titkin today, and Peter Titkin has fought extremely hard for Tina Peters. And the president is making up his own mind. I think the president is contemplating. He's got the authority to do what Eisenhower did with Orville Faubus when the Southern schools were not going to allow black children to attend and integrate public education. General Eisenhower sent the 101st Airborne Division down there to make sure those children got in that school. And President Kennedy did the same thing with George Wallace. Well, I think Donald Trump is one step away from sending the 101st in to rescue Tina Peters. But I don't think he's going to have to. I think these appellate judges are going to do the right thing. And they're going to expose how these woke, leftist, Democratic, Obama and Biden judges are not interested in the law. They're not interested in truth. They're interested in destroying anybody who supports the United States Constitution.
Yes.
Well, they want to have voter fraud. They want to have illegal immigrants. And they want to have people attacking ICE. And
yes.
If that's what the Democratic Party is running on, why do we need the Democratic Party?
Yeah. Well, when you look at the amount of fraud that's being exposed, and we're talking hundreds of billions of dollars, I think Scott Bessent said it could be up to $600 billion per year that is being defrauded from the government. And if you're making that much money, that's more than most companies in the U.S. make in their lifetime. So, of course, you're going to do anything you can to protect that. Just real quick, we've only got a few minutes here with you. So as far as that case that was decided on Wednesday there at the Supreme Court to give standing to candidates, I realize it doesn't really recognize anybody has standing for these kinds of cases, but do you think it opens the door maybe just a little to citizen watchdogs to start investigating election fraud? I guess maybe a better way to ask that is, do you think this ruling now puts the fear of God, or at least of the Supreme Court, into states and these lower courts?
I think the states and lower courts are still going to try to cheat and steal elections and tell the federal government, thumb their nose at the federal government, because I don't think they care anymore. I think they're insurrectionist. But what this case does is it now puts the Supreme Court on record that a candidate can challenge for federal office, can challenge a state election rule like a mail-in ballot counting indefinitely till they can get enough mail-in ballots made up to that the Democrat wins. you know, on the fact that we have to have voter integrity.
Yeah.
And I think it empowers Donald Trump. Donald Trump is getting, I think, the American people behind him to say the Insurrection Act to quell a rebellion with a governor urging the citizens to go out and attack law enforcement officers, ICE trying to do their job, and Democrats trying to steal elections with, you know, algorithms and the State Board of Election. It validates everything we did at God's Five Stones.
Yeah.
And that's how Peter Titkin and I first connected. Peter,
well,
when he saw we had a God's Five Stones, he said, we knew they were cheating. Now we know how they're cheating.
Yeah. Well, we have less, we've got less than 2 minutes for you. Let me ask this question real quick. As far as Trump and exposing the election fraud, he has mentioned he has truckloads of evidence of the 2020 election fraud. Do you or Peter Titkin have any insights into specifics that you're able to share now, or maybe give some hints of what we can be looking out for, what to expect?
Well, I think Donald Trump's contemplating an executive order under Article 3, national security emergency. Foreign nations are intruding on our elections, like China through Venezuela, and he's going to demand that we have voter IDs, proof of citizenship, and get rid of the machines. He's going to say we have to have election integrity. And he's going to support what Justice Roberts has set up the case now for Donald Trump to say, I've got to act. As president, I got to protect the United States. We're under attack. We're under attack from the Democrats, who will be happy to invite the Chinese in here to destroy the nation.
Yeah.
And do it in conjunction with Venezuela while they open the border to Somalian terrorists who come in here and steal from the taxpayer in order to vote for Democratic candidates. And if the Democrats don't care about lying, cheating, stealing, all they want is power, I think the President of the United States has got powers in Article 3 as Commander-in-Chief to make sure this nation remains secure. And I believe Donald Trump will exercise those powers if that's his only choice.
Okay, unfortunately, we are up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today. This has been awesome.
Always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
You can't trust an election if you can't trust how they got elected. And if you can't trust how they got elected, then you can't trust the winner. And if they don't want you to look, that's the tell. This case is going to continue to have major impacts on election laws all around the states. There are still more election integrity lawsuits being decided this year at the Supreme Court, but this one is the first step. If someone wants to challenge things like dirty voter rolls or Democrats counting ballots for weeks on end after Election Day until they finally get the results they want, well, you need a candidate to sue to challenge those. That's the path forward. Now, let's just find some candidates with the backbone to start challenging these. Because as we say every week, the best information is no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show. Yeah.